The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the neighborhood. Mubarak ho, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, comedy, talk, radio, music, and more, produced by Total Theater, hosted by yours truly, and brought to you by our sponsor, Berkshire Financial Group, for all your mortgage needs. And let's not forget the two great sustenances of life, food and photocopies. For food, you go to the Tondra Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. For photocopies, printing, and more, visit Hewlett Minuteman Press in Hewlett. But more on that anon. It's Thursday, April 22nd, our second program in this new and exciting time slot. And you know you've been in radio too long when you start finding excitement in time slots. No, but I haven't been doing this show that long, just since October 2002, when Days Gone By first went on the air in a late night time slot. And we've moved around a bit since then, most recently on Mondays, where I had a 90-minute slot. Now it's Thursdays, 7 to 8 p.m., and I'm okay getting back to an hour for a while, especially during the spring, because I'm just so busy this time of year. As I say every week, I'm a radio personality, a theater critic, journalist, co-publisher of a theater magazine. And this time of year is just nuts as far as New York theater. Between late March and early June, everybody's trying like crazy to keep up with the spring season. Every night is an opening. Now, all the producers are cramming theaters with shows before awards deadlines, like the Tonys or June 6th this year. And there are half a dozen other awards, which include Off-Broadway, that also have to be dealt with. So I'm dealing with that while doing this program. And when you spend many, many weeks putting out 90 minutes of content, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort and time. I loved every minute of it, and I like to think that you all did too. But in the new Thursday slot, it's tighter. I have to condense things down from 88 minutes to 58 minutes. So two things happen. The initial response is panic. How am I going to fit everything I was doing into such a tight container? One thing I've always admired about Howard Stern is that he's on the radio 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. And in fact, he's usually on close to 5 hours a day, unless he has an important meeting or he's in a rerun or something. Instead of ending at 10 a.m., he wraps up at 10:30, 10:40, 11:01. And half the time when he does that, he tells us, I wanted to get to this, but we didn't have time. I have all these things on my list, but the show's already over. We'll have to save it for tomorrow. So whether you love Howard Stern or hate him, you've got to give the guy serious props for doing more than 20 hours a week of live radio and still fretting that he doesn't have enough time to do all the stuff he wants to do. Now, that would not work in all professions. You don't want to be at your dentist, and he's in there for an hour and a half, and then says, you know, I got most of this done, but if I had just another hour, I could really whiten those back molars. And you're like, it's not. But seriously, in my case, going down to the hour from the hour and a half does have some of that Procrustean fear of truncation about it. And being Jewish, I'm automatically wary of anyone trying to snip off what little I've got. But there's also something very neat and direct about an hour. It forces me to focus a little more, trim some of the extraneous stuff. Doesn't mean I'll get lazy. Doesn't mean I'll scrimp on the solid gold entertainment value of this unique and sumptuous program. No siree. It just means I'm working harder and faster to serve you better. And tonight, I'm serving up a really fun and musical program devoted mostly to Indians. Not Wampum Scalpum Indians, but Puri Tandoori Indians, and more specifically, one Indian composer who's become a legend in popular Indian music, Jagjit Singh, S-I-N-G-H. A Sikh from northwest India, Jagjit takes certain classical forms and he blends them with elements of modern melodic pop. in some ways reminds me of an Indian Perry Como or Mel Torme, but it's a specious comparison, and you'll see why in our segment coming up, where we'll play some Jagjit Singh. I'll also talk about my adventures just getting to a concert of his, a couple of odd and hopefully amusing stories I'll share with you. As promised, this episode of Dave's Gone By is quite different from last week's and will be different from next week's. It's always the point. And while I don't think there's anything in this program that's inappropriate for folks of all ages, you never know what's going to pop out of my mouth, so I'll just add the usual caution. Dave's Gone By is rated DGB-13, our equivalent of the movie's PG-13. No need to pull the children away from the radio, unless they're standing in a bucket of water while tuning it, in which case they're probably not bright enough to be listening anyway. But all the rest of you sharp, clever, lucky people, stay tuned for an hour of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music on the 73rd edition of Days Gone By, where we sing out strong with Jagjit Singh.
दिल के दर्द को जाने को मुंह की बात सुने हर कोई दिल के दर्द को जाने को आवाजों के बाजारों खामोशी पहचाने को आवाज़ों के बाज़ारों खामोशी पहचाने को मुंह की बात सुने हर कोई
Start with mulligatawny soup, then try an appetizer of tandoori quail, have a tasty garlic naan, and a main course of lamb kebab, prawn masala, or buttered chicken, topped off by a glass of mango lassi. Hungry? Then visit the Tandoor Grill. Fine cuisine, great service, nice people. 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, 516-766-4440. See the menu at tandoorgrill.com. It's Indialicious.
Okay, folks, you've all seen the news. The economy is picking up, but inflation is also starting to rise, and we may have seen the bottoming out of interest rates. If you've been waiting for the last minute to buy that house, refinance that mortgage, or lock in that home equity loan, this is the last minute. In fact, it's past the last minute. The last minute was a minute ago, but it's not too late. Not if you have Berkshire Financial Group on your side. At Berkshire Financial, it's all about customer service. It's all about caring for the client. And they do it by meeting your financial needs. Berkshire Financial Group is a licensed mortgage banker in New York State, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut banking departments. If you go to their website, easymoney.com, you can read their mission statement. Yes, they mention having competitive rates and up-to-date technology. But the president of the company also stresses in the last paragraph, quote, "We have instilled a sense of integrity and loyalty in our staff. That's what makes Berkshire different from all the other bankers. It's why you should contact them instead of some too-good-to-be-true TV offer or some newspaper ad that has fine print you can't read without a microscope. Berkshire Financial gives you the rates, the care, and the quality. Log on to their website, easymoney.com, and see what they can do for you, whether it's home improvements, mortgage reductions, or buying your first condo. You can even pop some numbers into their mortgage calculator and see for yourself what Berkshire Financial Group can do for you. They have a toll-free number, 866-500-5055. That's 866-500-5055. Visit their Staten Island office and mention Days Gone By for a cute free gift. Not remortgage, just a pen or a bat or something, but something cute. 866-500-5055, Berkshire Financial Group, putting your needs first. Welcome back to Days Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Time for a new segment. Yes, a brand new segment. No, it kind of sounds like certain old segments we've done, but I finally put a name on it. And the name is Dave's Day. Welcome to Dave's Day. And I did this once before, end of last summer. I had had a really weird and up and down interesting day in New York. I'd gone to see two or three different plays in the city and just had all these interesting encounters with old friends and a hot dog vendor I had an argument with, and then coming out of a theater and seeing fireworks in the sky behind the building all the way on West 42nd Street. And so it was such a wild and strange day. And also there was a tremendous amount of police patrol, because we'd been bumped to, like, orange alert that weekend. So there was also a very weird vibe in the air. And I cobbled it all together, and I just spoke about it, and hope people found it interesting. I want to try that again with a very different day, not in New York City, but actually in Elizabeth, New Jersey, a day that I spent just this past weekend, last Sunday, where I went to see Jagjit Singh at the Ritz Theater in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Now, Jagjit Singh, one of the more famous Indian singers alive. He is called the King of the Ghazals, and Ghazals are very short lyric poems. I'll say a little bit more about them later, but Jagjit Singh was born in 1941 in Rajasthan, and, you know, he knocked around Bollywood for about a decade trying to make his way as a singer, as a composer. Didn't really happen for him for a while until he married Chitra Singh, another singer, the singing Singhs, I guess you would call them, and around the late 60s, they paired up, started to work together, sing together his music and songs with lyrics by all these different lyricists, and by 1976, they released an album called Unforgettables, and that really took off. Apparently, it was unforgettable for most people, and the next bunch of albums just sold in the millions more than any other Indian act. So what was special about, or is special about Jagjit Singh, is that he adds something to a form that already was. There were other singers doing this kind of thing. I guess I should re-explain that a ghazal is a very short poem. It's only two lines long, but there are very strict rules about it, and it's kind of like a haiku in length and meter. And Jagjit, I kind of liken him to Shlomo Carlbach, the Jewish folk singer, because what they both do, you know, Carlbach takes prayers and lines from the Bible, doesn't do anything else to them, but he puts them to very pretty melodies. Singh does the same thing to these short poems, but he makes them sound, with his melodies, somewhat classical, but also there's a modernness about them, a very light, easy listening, smooth, gentle, and very pretty flow to them. And yet it doesn't sound like cheesy Indian music or too westernized. So Jagjit and Chitra Singh, husband and wife, were hugely successful for about a decade, and then they lost their son in a car accident, I think in 1990, and the album that resulted out of that, Jagjit did alone. He called it Beyond Time, and he basically, after about half a year of intense grief, buried himself back into his music and came out of the grieving process that way. His wife, Chitra, went into seclusion for a while and has never sung another note in public since her son died. She comes out for signings, apparently, and then there's not like a recluse, but you won't hear this sing. Jagjit has continued, however, up to the very present day. He's been doing some more political recording in recent times, still mostly ghazals. And I came across him just by accident. I like Indian music. I like the classical Ravi Shankar stuff to an extent. It gets a little dull and repetitious after a while. And of course, like everybody else, I think my ears were open to the sounds of Indian musicians as to the Beatles and George Harrison and beautiful songs like The Inner Light and The Sitar on Norwegian Wood. But I want something a little more authentic, so I went poking around a couple of Indian websites, found one with a bunch of Jagjeet's songs on them, downloadable and listenable. Started listening, and I just found it lovely, lovely stuff. Well, cut to about 2 or 3 years later, and Jagjeet has been on an American tour. He does it pretty often. And he had been in Queens 2 weeks ago. Couldn't get to see him there, but he was in the Ritz this past Sunday in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And my wife and I have an Indian friend. Her name is Diditi. My wife went to school with her. She lives in Jersey, and she's also, I wouldn't say an expert on Indian music, but she knows a heck of a lot more than I do, so we decided to go together to see him. And she gave me some of his CDs to listen to brush up. And now the concert started, or was supposed to start, at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. So I get from Long Island to the Elizabeth, New Jersey train station, New Jersey Transit, no problem. You know, perfectly decent ride. And then she picks me up underneath, and I have to say, this area where all these cars are turning under the Elizabeth Station overpass has to be the most dangerous place on Earth. Forget Queens Boulevard, forget Fallujah, there's this turning section, drivers should get a Purple Heart for just attempting it. So, okay, we're both there, it's about 4 o'clock, we have 2 hours to go eat dinner, but she was not going to be content with just eating in the neighborhood, because it's not really much of a neighborhood, and a lot of the restaurants are either these Irish pubs or little dinky Chinese places. No denigration to them, I'm sure they're okay, but, you know, she was dressed up in a sari and Indian garb and really wanted to have a full Indian mood for the evening, and plus we both love Indian food, and before you say anything else, no, we weren't even remotely close to Rockville Center, so we could not go to the Tondra Grill at 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center for their Indialicious cooking. If we were, we certainly would have gone there, but we weren't. Just throwing in that in there so our sponsors know I'm not being negligent when I say we wanted to go to India Square, or at least she wanted to. Unfortunately, that was about 11 miles away up in Jersey City. So we drive there, and it doesn't take us that much time, even in traffic. And we even get a parking spot right there in front of the street we wanted to be on. A guy luckily was pulling out. We pull in, and yes, I can understand why Diditi wanted to spend the early part of this evening in India Square. It's only about 4 or 5 blocks with maybe a couple of side streets, but it is a true Indian enclave, and it's something to see, and I could understand how she would want to feel a part of that. But the weird thing is, here it is about 4:30 in the afternoon, and we're looking for Indian restaurants, and there really aren't any. We pass one, we go in, and they say, nope, sorry, not serving until 5 o'clock. And then everything else we pass is either like a sweet confectionery shop, or these little dinky, you know, caves in the wall, which I'm sure, I'll bet you, have absolutely fantastic Indian food, because they are locals, and then you can see them packed with people who would know the right places to eat. But, you know, we wanted something a little bit special. We finally found a lovely place on the corner. I do not remember the name of it. Again, it wasn't the Tondra Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. No, it was not. That's probably the reason I'm not remembering this other Indian restaurant. We go in, and what I didn't realize was that our friend Diditi had lunch about 2 hours before she got on the road. So after all that time and effort to go here, she wasn't even hungry. So she orders, like, 2 appetizers, 1 aloo chaat and paneer fritters, which are very tasty. They're a special kind of cheese that's basically curdled milk and fried into fritters. Very yummy. I ordered the chicken tikka. And with all due respect to the restaurant I named before, it was one of the best I've ever had. Oniony and tangy, a little spicy, absolutely exceptional. And quickly served, nice atmosphere. I had a mango lassi, I got a puri bread, a naan bread, excuse me. We leave with a half an hour to get back to Elizabeth, New Jersey and the theater. And as we're driving, everything's cool, you know, get on the highway. And we notice on the windshield some piece of paper. And the first time we can pull over, I pull it off. And what's there? But a parking ticket. Apparently, that space that we had gone into that another guy had just pulled out of was maybe a no-no space. And this is really terrible because the DT is a new driver. She just got her license a couple of weeks ago. And she is absolutely freaking because with new drivers, she's afraid it's a moving violation, which you get two of those and you are really screwed. Parking is not. So it's $35, and they count on the fact that it's not even worth going in, taking a day off work, and fighting it. You're just going to pay the damn $35 and go. But, you know, I would really love to know what the hell was wrong with that spot. If the meter maid or meter matron happens to be listening to the show, as if, and wants to explain why on a Sunday, in a place that wasn't near a fire hydrant, wasn't open for any kind of driveway, you had to give our little car a ticket. I would really love to know. And parking became sort of the issue of the night. Because as we're driving to the Ritz Theater, and now it's a little after 6, and we see people sauntering. You figure the concert's just about to start, but they're very mellow about it. They're just walking along. They're driving to it slowly. They knew, as I guess we learned, that a John Jeet Singh concert, minimum 3 hours, closer to 4. So if they miss one or two songs, it's like, well, we saw them already, and we'll see the next 3 hours. But we were like, okay, we want to park, and there's no place to park, of course. So we go to a municipal lot, and, of course, this time of night, with all those people there, you go up, and it takes, 10, 15 minutes just to get to the top of it, where there are finally spaces, and then you've got to walk down. And down, and that because none of these staircases and none of the escalators or elevators were open to the public on a Sunday. Do not ask me why. Okay, so we get to the theater, and we get our tickets very quickly. It's like a little glass booth right outside of the theater. It's exactly like the Beacon Theater in New York. And we're figuring, great, okay, this is good. We go in, we missed maybe 5-10 minutes, our fault. Except the guy who hands us the tickets, points us to the very, very end of the line going in. And it turns out that this line is stretching all the way to the end of the freaking block. This is not at 5 o'clock for a 6 o'clock concert. This is with a concert already pretty much in progress, or just about to start, and they've got people with tickets in their hands snaking around the block. This is so typical of these things. I just want to call the Ritz out on it, and I think the Beacon is the same way. You know, it's unconscionable. The tickets for this event range from $40 to $130-something. So this was not like some little free event, but even if this were a free concert in Central Park, people deserve to be treated a little better than to be sort of herded and pushed around in a line and then wait for 15 minutes once they've already got tickets in hand to get into a concert that's already started. Absolutely ridiculous. And it was actually a little bit funny in the sense that the people doing the crowd control and all the ticket stuff were like these very large African-American gentlemen. The one guy who was kind of saying who's in, who's not, had to be 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds. And to his credit, he was turning down offers of people, like giving him $5 or $10 to say, okay, just let me in. And he's like, no, everyone the same. Gotta go to the end of the line. And, but still, it was a stupid way to coordinate the whole thing. And I would love to hear from the owners of the Ritz or people who've gone to other concerts at that venue to know if it's always this same chaos, the same stupidity. So we go to the end of the line, and instead of missing there for about 10 minutes of concert, we missed maybe 20, 25, almost a half an hour of it. But you know what? I've been doing a lot of bitching in this segment, and I did not really want to. I wanted this very up and down day. I wanted to get to some of the good stuff, because the concert ran well over 3 hours, and there were parts that were sublime. Now, let me talk a little bit about Jagjeet's music, finally getting to that. It's not quite what you might expect. There's no sitar usually. Or if it is, it's played very much in the background on his records, but it's not even in his concert now. His instrumentation is mostly Western except for the drums. He has two tabla drummers. He also has two very normal American-looking acoustic guitars, one semi-electric guitar that kind of looks like the Sunburst that Duane Eddy or Les Paul would use, or that guitar on the cover of the Dire Straits album, Brothers in Arms. And there's also Jagjit plays this weird instrument, sort of like a cross between a mini harpsichord and an accordion harmonium. So he's got one hand playing the keys, and then the other hand working the doorway like a bellows. And he does it for the whole 3 hours of the concert. He does like an hour and a half, hour 45, first part, and then the second is another hour and a half, seated, but doesn't really stop. And his hand is going back and forth while he's singing this whole time. Pretty amazing. And also in the instrumentation that you don't hear on a lot of the records is a violin. And between the fills that the guitars and the violins were doing, that's what made the concert. They all sat on this white platform with billowing kind of cushions and Jagjit at the forefront. And there's the beauty of it was there was always something to listen to in between the sung verses. So, you know, you would have things going, and I cannot remotely imitate him, but however he sings. And then, just before the next verse, they would fill something so beautiful or beautifully in with a little guitar filigree, or the violinist would take a bar, just one bar, and then they go back to the verses. And the sound of it was so exquisite. And what was kind of cute is every once in a while, because of the modernization, you would hear something that sounded very Western. You know, a little bit of rockabilly here, or a little country Western there, or some ethnic music. Really, really lovely. Now remember, these are not sacred Indian ragas. They're just poetic songs. And I think they're very accessible to Western ears. So I've been rambling a little bit because that's what this segment's all about. But I want you to hear some of the music here. Not from the concert, but from when Jagjit and Chitra were still singing together. And this is a ghazal. Remember, it's just a two-line poem that is repeated over a steady beat and some lovely filler. The song is called Bahut Pane Se Un Kadmon Ki Ahat Jan Lete Hain. And I'm not going to repeat that. You're just going to listen, and I hope, enjoy.
बहुत पहले से उन कदमों की आहट जान लेते हैं बहुत पहले से उन कदमों की आहट जान लेते हैं तुझे है जिंदगी पहचान लेते हैं बहुत पहले से तबीयत अब
जानो ईमान है निगाहें मिलते ही जो जान और ईमान लेते हैं निगाहें मिलते ही जो जान और ईमान लेते हैं बहुत पहले से बदल कर भेष मिलता है कोई काफिर
अक्सर बदल कर भेष मिलता है कोई काफिर
कभी हम जान लेते हैं कभी पहचान लेते हैं बहुत पहले से उन कदमों की आहट जान लेते हैं तुझे जिंदगी हम दूर से पहचान लेते हैं
Isn't that pretty? Jagjeet and Chitra Singh on Babes Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Continuing with a brand new segment called Dave's Day. I told you about my day getting to the Jagjeet Singh concert in Elizabeth, New Jersey this past Sunday, and really had a lovely time at most of the concert. As I said, the arrangements, even prettier than what you were just hearing, because they had both acoustic guitars, an electric guitar, and a violin, and then, of course, the Indian drums. The weird thing was, Jagjeet kept complaining about the sound system at the Ritz, both in English and in Hindi, I guess he was speaking, and making signals off the stage to kind of turn things down or adjust the bass. And, I don't know, whatever other complaints I have about the Ritz and their management and how people are run around and how crowded it is at intermission trying to get to or from the restroom. The sound, I don't know, sounded pretty good to me. It was clear. The instruments sounded separated and lovely. I mean, I wish half the rock and pop concerts I went to in various venues, everything from, I keep mentioning the Beacon, but, you know, for gosh sakes, Roseland in Manhattan, I wish they had the sound quality that the Ritz did for this concert. And the odd thing is my friend Aditi said that Jagjeet also wanted the volume lower a lot of the time than it was. I didn't think it was too loud until the end of the concert when it got intentionally louder. The music became bouncier, kind of the big, not really through an encore, but like the big final song gets literally all the younger people up dancing in the front of the stage area and the aisles. In fact, he even brought in an extra drummer for the second half to make a louder, kind of heavier drum sound, which reminded me, it was kind of goofy. It was nice to see. Last time I saw Bob Dylan, for some reason his song Tangled Up in Blue has become that kind of number, sort of this clubby dance number. Never was meant to be that way, and it isn't really any different. It's not a club song. It's not a Red Hot Chili Peppers kind of beat-heavy rhythm number, and yet, you know, kids want to dance, so that's the song they chose, and now it's become almost ritual for, if there's going to be one song you're going to dance to a Bob Dylan concert, it's Tangled Up in Blue. And so at the end of a Jagjeet Singh concert, he apparently plays more folky tunes, and everybody gets up and dances, and they make a lot of noise. And it then got pretty annoying, and people were really yelling very loud, and there was this one guy, and he was whistling. And he wasn't even sitting near us. This is the scary part. He was in a section really far away, and he had this loud, like, long wolf whistle, and would just do it again and again in time to the music after a while. And, you know, all the older people, everybody over 40, was like, oh, God, who's this idiot? And, you know, all the other people were just sort of dancing around and having a great time. And, you know, Divita and I, considering the traffic problems that we had getting in, we made a vow to leave 5 or 10 minutes before the concert was over. So we could, you know, get out, avoid the crush, get to the parking garage, you know, just when everybody else was heading towards it. Ha! We misjudged, and we wanted to sort of stay and see the end anyway. So, of course, crush at the end, which moved surprisingly quickly. I'll give that to the Ritz. And then we get to the parking garage, and now the place is still full. We go all the way up to the top, and it becomes very clear that we're not going anywhere. So, what do you do in those cases? You just sort of sit back, you laugh, you bitch about the ticket that she'd gotten about 3 hours earlier, and you wait. And that is, I think, obviously anybody who goes to a game at Giants Stadium probably experiences the same thing. It looks like you're going to be stuck there forever and ever and ever, except 10 minutes later, everybody's gone, and you just pull out and leave. It really is amazing how that works, because if you figure it should take maybe a car 30 seconds to leave a parking lot, that's, you know, a long estimate. And if you figure there's maybe, you know, how many, 1,500 cars in a giant municipal lot, you count that up, you shouldn't be leaving until sometime the next afternoon. And yet they all go. It just happens, which was good. So one last piece of the story, one last enjoyable little comic piece of this puzzle that was my day. We're making our way from the Ritz, and Didi has to drop me off at New Jersey Transit so I can take the train back home, and then she's got to get on the turnpike. She also has to stop for gasoline, so she wants to get directions. Fine, we get this very nice gas station attendant. It's late night. They're about the only place that's open. And yes, it's true. New Jersey gas is cheaper. This guy was about 15 to 20 cents a gallon cheaper than any place in New York. And we ended up passing a closed gas station where, you know, premium unleaded was $1.67, which, so this is why people cross the state line to get their stuff. But anyway, we got our gas, and we're talking to him, and she asked him basically, okay, how do you get from the gas station to the train station? And then, how do you get from the theater and the train station over to the parkway, where she had to go home, back out into another part of New Jersey? And he was about to give her the directions, the advice. And he said, oh, no, wait a minute. Let my fiancée give it to you. She's on the cell phone. And he hands Diditi the cell phone. And I swear, if you saw this in a TV sitcom, you would say this was too obvious. The woman on the other end starts giving directions. Now, understand, the directions from here to there should take about, you know, a minute and a half in a car. It's about 3 or 4 or 5 blocks. Woman starts talking and talking. And Diditi is listening and listening and going, And this goes on for about 4 or 5 minutes. You think I talk a lot? I'm not even giving directions. This woman's trying to give the exact, like, location directions, I guess. And when she finishes, the beauty part is that he says, in a very straight face, which I think is amazing, I kind of lost you. Can we just backtrack a little bit? And they start from the beginning. And you would figure after giving the directions the first time, the woman on the other end of the line would have consolidated. Well, of course, so, you know, the first time you give directions, you're piecing it out in your own head, and you maybe make a mistake or two, but then the second time you'll get it, except it was just as bad. It was just as long an explanation. And so, I think he finally was able to thank her very much. You know, thanks for the advice. Basically got a vague idea. Handed the cell phone back to the gas station guy, and the gas station guy, who, while his fiancée was on the phone talking, and I'm sorry if they're listening right now, but I have to tell on this, he was making that hand motion that all men use when they're, you know, they're talking about their wives talking. You know, the fingers going up and down, like, And I was like, dude, you're marrying into this? I did not say that. And he said, you know what? Here's what you have to do. You go to the train station, it's two blocks, then you come back to this gas station, and then turnpike, you just turn right out of the gas station and go straight down a quarter of a mile, and there it is. That was the direction. That was what it took this woman 10 minutes to say. Which I just thought was marvelous, and kind of made my night. It was so, so bizarre. And I do thank that gas station owner. He was very helpful. And I was had an uneventful journey home, thank goodness. Especially, I thank goodness, because 6 hours later, after I returned home, was the night or the morning that they had that Amtrak and LIRR derailment. But, you know, thank goodness God spared me from injury from that. And I'm glad I got to see Jagjit Singh. And I would go see him again. Not in New Jersey, but certainly in New York, especially if he has another 7 or 8 piece band with him. He opened the second half of the show with one of his most popular songs, and I'm going to play that as the outro music at the very end of the show. That's called Sazakti Jai Hairuch Senakab Ahista Ahista. Almost sounds it like a joke when I say it. You know, imagine Casey Kasem on Indian Top 40. And now, zooming up the charts, it's Jagjit Singh with Sazakti Jai Hairuch Senakab Ahista Ahista. Anyway, no, but the song is really great. It really moves, and I'm going to play a version of it from a live album by Jagjit and Chitra Singh, although this is Jagjit solo on this number. And you'll hear later, I love the way the Indian men shout, ba, 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 like sheep in a weird way when it comes to the end of a lyric. They're kind of giving reinforcement, so they're going, ba, ba. And I have to say there were times during the concert when I felt like doing that. It felt a little silly, but he did the end of the song, and everybody was cheering, and I look over at my friend Aditi and be like, bah, bah! She'd giggle and say, you're an idiot. It's bizarre, but the energy is very special. So, I'm going to play that later, but I want to play one more live track, or part of it, from a CD called Jagjit and Chitra Singh Come Alive. Oh, here's another wonderful name. Dai Dinda Jawani Nal Chalvi. It's a Punjabi song, and what's kind of cool about it is, if you heard this on the Manos Galanos Greek show that they play every weekday on this station at about 10 o'clock, you would think it was a Greek song. It has that intonation, it's got that sound of the bouzouki, and yet it's totally Indian, it's totally Jagjit, although I'm sure he heard along the way Greek music, and maybe absorbed with a Greek or something like that. So he incorporates that, and it gives you a sense of the energy, the melody, the fun that is Jagjit Singh. So let's give a listen to... You're going to make me say it again, aren't you? Okay. Dai din na jawani nal chaldi. Well, get your stomping feet and your clapping hands together, because it sounds just like this.
ओ ढाई दिन न जवानी नल चल दी ओ ढाई दिन न जवानी नल चल दी कुड़ती मल मल दी ढाई दिन न जवानी नल चलदी ओ ढाई दिन न जवानी नल चलदी कुड़ती मल मल दी मेहंदी
नित सुनते दिल नित सुनते दिल आट वांगू बढ़ती उड़ती मल मल दी ताई दिन न जवानी नल चलती उड़ती मल मल दी
The wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets. Irving, we are screwed.
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Unit Minuteman Press.
Unit Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing, engraving.
Really?
Letterhead, souvenirs.
Wonderful! Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yep. 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling. Let's go!
Yes, dear. Day after the wedding, I kill her.
What's playing on Broadway? I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Is it good? Can you bring the kids? Performing Arts Insider is the theater guide. Call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511, or go to TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. In an ideal world, Dave's Gone By would play 24/7, but I need my beauty sleep. Should you turn WGBB off when I'm not on? No way! Here are three other shows you should listen to. Long Island's Dating, an advice and interview program for singles hosted by Bonnie D. Graham, kicking off the weekend Friday nights at 6. The Mr. Redman Music Show, independent Long Island musicians and bands. Redman plays them first and you get to vote. Saturday nights at 7:30. And Sunday nights, it's Your World with Joe Salzone. Politics and current events from a conservative but open-minded perspective. Sunday nights at 7. So you see, if it can't be all Dave all the time, it can still be radio worth listening to. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6. Mr. Redman, Saturdays, 7:30 to 9. And of course, Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7. And during the week, all sorts of Chinese people.
Welcome back to this Calcutta-rific episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave, and I want to thank a bunch of people, including Diviti Mitra, our good friend and really gave me an interesting game and a fun time going to see Jagjeet Singh, of whom we will hear one more song at the very end of the program. Also want to thank, of course, my beloved and wonderful wife, Joyce, who is my little samosa, and my sponsors, of course, Berkshire Financial Group. See them at easymoney.com or call 866-500-5055. The Tondra Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. There's the restaurant that you should go to if this program made you hungry for Indian food, because it's Indialicious. Oh, and if you mention Dave's Gone By, you get 10% off the meal. That's pretty good. And also, even better than pretty good is Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, 516-569-5577 for all your printing, copying, and engraving needs. And I want to thank TotalTheater.com and The Theater Guide, Performing Arts Insider. This is, you know, the real tail end and exciting part of the Broadway season. You need this magazine, Performing Arts Insider. Go to TotalTheater.com to find out more. Okay, more thank yous to people on this station. Bobby D. Graham, who hosts Long Island Skating Friday nights, 6 o'clock. The Mr. Redman Music Show, hear him Saturday nights, 7:30 to 9. And Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7. He has a new rapid-fire format that he's trying out, so give him a listen. One more reminder, if you like this show, you can buy CDs, audio cassettes, or mini discs of past episodes of this program, literally just about every episode we ever did. If you're feeling blue, you're sick in bed, or tired of the bad shows on cable, pop a Dave's Gone By CD into your hi-fi and let the healing begin. Either that or you'll go into convulsions. But convulsions of laughter, that is. Check the website, davesgoneby.com. Yes, we have actually made it even easier to find and navigate davesgoneby.com. It's a fun website with a lot of pictures of me and some of my guests, news about the show and song lyrics, davesgoneby.com. And if you want to know what Jagjeet Singh looks like, there's a picture of him up there. And to hear some of his music, there's a cool website called musicindiaonline.com. Many songs from many of his albums, and not just 30-second excerpts. You can hear the whole songs. musicindiaonline.com. And for one more taste of what Jagjeet sounds like, we're going to close the show, as promised, with one more tune. Sazakti Jai Hai Rukh Se Nakab Ahista Ahista. But don't worry, you won't be quizzed on it, although you probably will be chiming along on the chorus of Ahista, Ahista, and it may even run through your head for the next 7 days, until we return again next Thursday, April 29th, with the 74th episode of Days Gone By. For now, this is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, namaste, and gone by.
Sarakti jaye sarakti 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 jaye hai rukh se नकाब आहिस्ता आहिस्ता Thank you.
से कर लिया पर्दा जवान दी लगे जब वो तो हमसे कर लिया पर्दा हया यक लख्त आई और शबाब
चंद नए शेर पेश कर रहा हूँ।
सवाले वस्ल पर उनको उदू का खौफ है इतना खौफ है इतना खौफ है इतना खौफ है इतना का खौफ है इतना दबे होठों से देते हैं जवाब दबे होठों से देते हैं जवाब I don't know.